طيب, we'll begin now, inshallah, or we'll continue the درس of أصول الإيمان, العقيدة. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. أين وصلنا؟ صبح كم؟ ها؟ طيب, المطلب الرابع, تفضل.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. كتاب أصول الإيمان في ضوء الكتاب والسنة, صفحة 40. المطلب الرابع, التبرك بالأشجار والأرض. Forty.
السلام عليكم. Can you hear the voice?
المطلب الرابع, التبرك بالأشجار والأحجار ونحوها. التبرك هو طلب البركة, وطلب البركة لا يخلو من أمرين. أولا, أن يكون التبرك بأمر شرعي معلوم مثل القرآن. قال الله تعالى, وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك, سورة الأنعام الآية. فمن بركته هدايته للقلوب وشفاؤه للصدور وإصلاحه للنفوس وتهذيبه للأخلاق وتهذيبه للأخلاق إلى غير ذلك من بركاته الكثيرة. الثاني, أن يكون التبرك بأمر غير مشروع كالتبرك بالأشجار والأحجار والقبور والقباب والبقاع ونحو ذلك, فهذا كله من الشرك. فعن أبي واقد الليثي قال, خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حنين ونحن حدثاء عهد بكفر, وللمشركين
سدرة
وللمشركين سدرة يعكفون عندها وينوطون بها أسلحتهم وينوطون بها أسلحتهم
أسلحتهم.
يقال لها ذات أنوار. فمررنا بسدرة فقلنا, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, اجعل لنا ذات أنوار كما لهم ذات أنوار. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, الله أكبر, إنها السنن. قلتم والذي نفسي بيده كما قال بنو إسرائيل لموسى, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. قال, إنكم قوم تجهلون. سورة الأعراف الآية. لتركبن سنن من كان قبلكم. رواه الترمذي وصححه. فقد دل هذا الحديث على أن ما يفعله من يعتقد في الأشجار والقبور والأحجار ونحوها من التبرك بها والعكوف عندها والذبح لها هو الشرك, ولهذا أخبر في الحديث أن طلبهم كطلب بني إسرائيل لما قالوا لموسى اجعل لنا إلها لما قالوا لموسى اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. فهؤلاء طلبوا سدرة يتبركون بها كما يتبرك المشركون، وأولئك طلبوا إلها كما لهم آلهة، فيكون في كلا الطلبين منافاة للتوحيد، لأن التبرك بالشجر نوع من الشرك، واتخاذ إله غير الله شرك واضح. وفي قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث لتركبن سنن من كان قبلكم، إشارة إلى أن شيئا من ذلك سيقع في أمته صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد قال ذلك عليه الصلاة والسلام ناهيا ومحذرا.
نعم. يقول المصنفون رحمه الله تعالى: المطلب الرابع يعني من مطالب هذا الباب. This is the chapter number 4 of this book, in the book of حماية المصطفى جلاب التوحيد or this he said it is titled by التبرك بالأشجار والأحجار ونحوها. التبرك تفعل وهو طلب. تبرك means to seek the blessing out of something, and this can be permissible and unpermissible. And tabarruk itself, as the ulama say, does not yani lead or does not reach the level of kufr. Does not reach the level of kufr. Because except if the person thinks that this thing, whether it is a tree or a stone or the grave or a place, itself can give you what you ask for. But if you think that Allah is the only one who gives you only because of this place or this thing, then Allah gives you that. That is, if there is a delil for it, like what he said, the Quran and many others, then yes. If no delil, then this is bid'ah. Not kufr, bid'ah. And he said that barakah is to be seeked from either, yeah, not to be seeked, people are seeking the barakah either from what is permissible or what is not permissible. For the permissible, he gave only one example, which is the Quran. As Allah Ta'ala called it Mubarak, meaning a source of barakah, or a due of barakah, blessing. So when you recite the Quran, it gives you barakah, barakah of hidayah. Now, he mentioned also the barakah that can be found from the Quran. He just gave example only, like the guidance, purification of the not illnesses, but the purification of the information of the knowledge, right? The Quran, by reciting it, you can have more barakah than this. For example, when you recite Surah Al-Baqarah in one house, the shaitan does not come. This is one barakah. This is one barakah. The shaitan cannot enter that house. It's a protection. When you recite Ayatul Kursi in the morning or in the evening, this is barakah, which means that you're going to have protection, you yourself, from the shaitan, an evil eye. When you recite the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, the blessing, the barakah comes from there, is that your life on this would be very valuable. So when you die, you will only enter the Jannah. When you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, which is all barakah, all the Quran barakah, if you recite Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times by someone who's stung by poison, insect or whatsoever, this will cure him. And this is one barakah. When you recite the Quran as a way of treating someone from either psychological illnesses or physical illnesses, it will treat. This is the barakah. It is barakah. So there are many barakahs from the Quran, many. And look to the major one, as the Prophet ﷺ said, recite the Quran. As for each letter you pronounce, there is a hasana. And you know that the hasana is multiplied by 10, right? And Isa Salam said, I don't say alif lam mim is only one letter, but alif is one letter, lam is one letter, mim is one letter. So this means that you're going to have a lot of reward, which is barakah. And as much hasanat you have, as much safe, convenient you are on this earth, because you have iman, and Allah Ta'ala guaranteed the good life for the mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala guaranteed the good life for the mu'mineen. Now, and not only the Quran which has barakah. Not only the Quran. Zamzam, for example, has barakah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Zamzam, ta'amu tu'm wa shifa'u suqm. Zamzam is, can be, and it's taken as a food, and can be taken as a medicine from any illnesses. And as Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Quraysh put him in the grave or in the well of Zamzam, and they locked him up down there for 40 days, he had nothing to take except Zamzam. When he came up, fast. They asked him, this fast comes only from, food. And he has only Zamzam. They thought that maybe Allah brought him food, as he gave Maryam and the mother of Maryam and the like. But he said, it is only Zamzam. It is only Zamzam. So there is barakah. And also, some other, like the Black Sea, honey, dates, many things that in the Quran, in the Quran or in the Sunnah, said that these are barakah. Milk, for example. There is no food like milk, nothing like milk. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us, whenever we ourselves, or we are going to take food, whatsoever food, we say, Allahumma barik lana bima razaqtana warzuqna khayran minhu. Oh Allah, bless whatever you give us and provide us what is better than it. Except for milk, Allahumma barik lana bima razaqtana wa zidna minhu. Oh Allah, bless what you give us and give us more of it. As there is no food can be blessed like milk. So there are many things that the Sunnah mentioned. But if it is not, barakah cannot be found by experience. Some people say, for example, take this as by the experience you find barakah. And I would say, no. The Prophet ﷺ told us, even sometimes ways of doing something. For example, a man came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, in our family we eat but we don't feel that it is enough. He said, you maybe eat separate, everyone individually. He said, yes. He said, then eat all from one plate, as this will be barakah for you. So we know now, this is way of barakah. This is way of barakah. But it does not mean like some people today, they bring it in one plate, and then they take a small plate everyone. No, 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 no. It's still, you are not taking the barakah. He saw Salam said also, when you eat everything, and don't take more than your ability, so you can't eat everything, because you don't know where is the barakah. The barakah can be in the last thing you leave, and the blade. So, this is another way of barakah. This is another way of barakah. So there are many ways and many things of barakah. For example, Mecca, in regard to the places, Mecca has barakah more than any other land, except for Medina. Medina has double barakah more than any other place. And it means now, and physically people find that when you live in Mecca, what makes you live 2 days in Mecca can only make you live 1 day in Jeddah, for example. And what makes you live in Mecca 2 days, it can make you live 3 days or 4 days in Medina. This is the meaning of barakah. And this is physically seen. It's not something just said. No, but people are living it. And there are many other things which are barakah, like the olives and the olive oil. Allah Ta'ala said, named it Mubarakah. Shajaratun Mubarakah. So there is barakah in there. Now, but there are things people take as sources of barakah while they are not. While they are not. And the barakah, the other type, which is barakah with or seeking the barakah with something not known as a source of barakah in Islam, this is called the illegitimate or the non-permissible barakah or seeking of barakah. Like people go and seek barakah from some trees, which Rasulullah SAW did not mention, did not say nothing about. Not the tree nor the fruit of the tree. So how come you go and take it as barakah? They take some trees for the long life this tree let remain. They say that this has barakah. For the strange way of looking of this tree, they say this must have barakah. But there is no delil for that. No delil. And some others go to some stones, whether idols or stones, has a different shape, look very strange, then they go and say barakah. And from the very strange thing that I heard in my life, that in Mecca, on the way going to Awali, there was up on the top pit of a mountain, stones, they look like human. Stones above each other. Doesn't give exact image of human, but it looks like. People said that this is the maskhuta. Maskhuta means a woman that Allah Ta'ala disliked, so He turned it to stones. You know what? They go there and seek blessing. Subhanallah. They go there and seek blessing from that. And they go to Ghar Hira and seek blessing. Where from they know that Ghar Hira has blessing? Oh, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there. MashaAllah, you know more than Abu Bakr, Umar and the other Sahaba? How come? They are the companions of Rasulullah and they did not used to go there for seeking barakah. And so on. And when I was very young, when I was a boy, Medina used to be full of like these things. They say There was a place called Mabrak al-Naqa. They say here the camel of Rasulullah sallam ايش وش يقولون بركه سات ها نلت اوكي It is a stone as a strange shape of a knee. They say this is the knee of the camel of Rasulullah. Okay, so they used to come to there and put water and take it and drink it. Say, MashaAllah, this barakah. From where you get that this is barakah? And there is another rock that has a strange, a hole, a kind of yani, a hole in it. And they say, here where Fatima used to grind the kuhl. Okay, so this kuhl was before it touches the eye of Fatima. If we suppose that there is barakah. This even before. So they say it is barakah to put and grind it here. SubhanAllah. And they used to go to Bir Uthman, Bir al-Khatam they call it. And people there sitting selling rings. Because the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dropped there when Uthman was the Khalifa. That's true. It dropped there. And then, so everyone bring rings and threw it there. Barakah. Okay, you're not getting your rings back. Where's the barakah? The barakah remain there, if there is any barakah. The barakah will remain there. And they go climb the mountains of the of Uhud, and they say barakah, because of Rasulullah and Abu Bakr and Umar climbed there. Okay, they climbed one time, for a reason, we don't know the reason. But, after Rasulullah sallam passed away, did Abu Bakr and Umar climb again? Uthman, okay, Uthman was with them. Ali wasn't with them. Ali wasn't with them. Why Ali didn't climb to seek the barakah? The other Sahaba, they were not with them. Things very strange, you know. Very strange. And many other things. Today, people come to the Masjid al-Nabawi and wipe everything there. The fence. The fence is only made now. Where is the barakah? He saw a cell and never saw it. And the existing fence, maybe King Abdul Aziz didn't see it. Not Abu Bakr Umar. This was only recent. But they still wipe. Wipe the whole walls of the masjid. Wipe everything. And if they know that you are from Medina, they wipe you. Wipe over you. SubhanAllah. And say barakah, barakah. And very strange thing that the ulama of Sufiya, they have different type of barakah. Their urine is barakah, their saliva is barakah, they spit over people and barakah. And here he gave dalil, an example of how people go forth from that. As in the hadith of Abu Waqid al-Layfi, where he said that while they were new to Islam, you know, Hunayn was in the, right after the conquer of Mecca, year 8. In the conquer of Mecca, there were many people came to Islam. So they joined the Prophet ﷺ in his journey to Hunayn, to Taif. Hunayn between Mecca and Taif. He was going to Taif to conquer Taif, but the people of Taif came down to the valley of Hunayn, which is close to Mecca. So, and they met there, the two armies met there. On the way, Abu Waqid al-Layth is saying that on the way, we passed by a tree called Sidra. Sidra means, Sidra is a type of tree that has a lot of thorns. So, they saw the kuffar hanging their swords on it. Okay, those are kuffar. We're not like them. And they were hanging, their sword seeking the barakah. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, assign one tree for us to seek the barakah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, condemned that and refuted it then and there. He did not delay it. Although he was going to a very difficult war. Because the people of Taif were very difficult in fighting. Very strong. Very expert of wars. So he needed every single man with him, but he did not say, okay, now this time, Alish, let the tablighi be tablighi, the ikhwani be ikhwani, no problem now. La, 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 la. We cannot unify if we don't unify upon the aqeedah. If the aqeedah is kharban, corrupted, then what kind of power we have? Each one will shoot the other sooner or later. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, by the one whom my sword in his hand, you have said exactly like Bani Israel said to Musa. Now look, did Rasulullah sallallahu mean it? Because what Bani Israel said is kufr. They said, assign a God for us to worship. Like these people have a God. They did not ask for barakah, they asked for worship. Did these people, if they were Muslim, ask something? No, they did not ask. They asked something which is lesser than shirk. It is bid'ah, but it is lesser than shirk. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that not to say that they are kuffar, otherwise he would have told them to say la ilaha illallah once again. But he said that to warn them, because this will lead to the shirk. Will lead to the shirk. As long as you go to this tree or grave or rock or whatsoever and seek blessing, sooner or later you're going to worship. You're going to worship. So it leads to shirk. So that's why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that. And then he said that لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سَنَنَا سَنَنَا or سُنَن both are correct, but it is سَنَن more than سُنَن, but both are correct. سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ means you are going to get into the ways of the people who came before you. You're going to follow them, imitate them. If you look to the Muslim world today, you begin with their masajid. They have maharib, the mihrab. From where they get the mihrab? From the Christians and Jews. And the mihrab in the past, before Islam, was a sign for something like the cross. The cross is a sign for something. For crucifying Isa, as they say. So it reminds them. The Christians had the mihrab in their churches because there was Yahya ibn Zakariya was slaughtered. Killed. Slaughtered like a sheep. So they take it as a kind of reminder. Now Muslims went and make mihrab. What for? They give you many silly excuses. Oh, we have one more row. Tabakhi, when we build the masjid, let's make it one more row longer. That's it. Easy. That's simple. As you see, my masjid, we had no manara, and this, which is not a mihrab, which is only a place where the imam can get in. We had a big fight for it. Big fight. All the people around here, in the area, came to me and spoke to me, and one of them was Talib al-Ilm, rahimahullah, passed away. How come you distinguish your masjid from the other masajid? This is. I said, where is the sunnah? Where is the delil? Why should we imitate the kuffar? He said, the minara. Although, I believe the minara can be a necessity, a need, but not in my area. Because as you see here, the compound is all one level. Once the adhan is raised, everyone can hear. But in some places where buildings are different stories and floors, yes, when the masjid is one floor and the building next to it is six floors, the sound is not going to go through. So they need a minara, no problem. That is logic. There is a reason, but for no reason. And you are wondering now, why the minara must have this crescent? And the crescent was raised when the Christians raised their cross against the Muslims. So the Muslims thought, what? Oh, they have a sign, we don't have a sign? Let's raise something, the Christians. And many things. The Mawlid, the graveyard, everything now. Almost everything now, they are following the Kuffar. Although they are naming them Kuffar, but they are yet following the Kuffar. They say that the Christians are Kuffar because they worship Isa. That's correct. You guys worshiping Jilani and Tijani, you are not Kuffar? No. They are the best Muslims, better than the Muwahideen. That sounds very strange. The one who worships the Prophet Kafir, the one who worships a wali lesser than a Prophet, is a great Muslim. That sounds very strange. So I mean, the statement of Rasulullah Sallam, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سَلَمْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ, it is today's scene. It is today's scene. Very well seen. So we have to be careful and be aware of these things, and you cannot be aware except when you seek the knowledge and say to the people of knowledge to hear from them and know what is right, what is wrong. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. لم نأخذ شيئا في من مدة طويلة وأعطيني كتاب الأعمال. For a long time we did not read from Sabr al-Salam. Sorry, from Bulugh al-Maram. عن أسماء. تفضل.
بلوغ المرام من أدلة من أدلة الأحكام. الحديث 34. الرقم عندك كم؟
27.
وفي كتاب آخر 27. يعني ما 34 في طبعة أو 27. 24 صفحة 24. Some books are in the Hadith 34, in other books are in the Hadith 27. The page that I have here is 24. It's an Asma.
دم الحج.
وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في دم الحيض يصيب الثوب تحجه ثم تقرصه بالماء ثم تنضحه ثم تصلي فيه. متفق عليه.
طيب اكملت
الحديث 35. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قالت خولة يا رسول الله فإن لم يذهب الدم قال يكفيك الماء ولا يضرك أثره. أخرجه الترمذي وسنده ضعيف.
نعم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يقول الإمام ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى السيد وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر. أسماء بنت أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه. She was the wife of Zubayr bin Awwam. She is the mother of Abdullah bin Zubayr, Urwa bin Zubayr. And she is the elder sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam God, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said في دم الحيض. الحيض المقصود يعني به ما يصيب المرأة. حيث is what يعني comes to the woman every month, which is the menses. في دم الحيض أي في حكم دم الحيض. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بيّن حكم دم الحيض. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم clarified the ruling of the blood of حيض of the menstruation. قال يصيب الثوب يصيب الثوب. And when this blood comes on a cloth, whether the cloth of the Prophet ﷺ or her cloth, but here it means the cloth of Rasulullah ﷺ. But even the cloth of the woman, it has the same ruling, there is no difference. يحطه أو تحطه تحطه الحك هو الحك to stretch it. This is when it gets dry. But when it is wet, you can't leave it until it gets dry and then you stretch it and that's it. The sun would be there. But the blood is gone. So doesn't matter. تحطه ثم تقرصه بالماء. ثم تقرصه بالماء. Meaning, تقرصه بالماء يعني after the blood is scratched, the dry one is scratched, then you clean it with water. With water and wipe it over it until it goes. ثم تنضحه. ثم تنضحه. Meaning again, يعني تقرصه is to do like this, huh? What do you call this? Huh? I can't see it. Huh?
Rubbing it.
Rubbing it? Okay. Rubbing it and then wash it. Meaning now you pour water to after you rub it, you pour water over it so the remains of it goes. Okay? Reported by Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Al-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Huzaymah, Ibn Hibban, on the 30th of Umm Qais bint Mahsan, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the blood of menses when it comes over the toe. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, حكيه بصلح. حكيه بصلح. And it is a type of rust. Salah is a type of rust. One type of rust. Yani, it's not a smooth rust. It's not very rough. That kind of scratch, you know. بِمَاءٍ وَاغْسِلِهِ بِمَاءٍ وَاغْسِلِهِ. After you scratch it with this rust, and then you wash it with water and scissors. Yani today we can use instead the salt, because at that time this was the salt. Now the ulama understood from that this means it is very strongly required to wash the blood of menses. The blood of menses. But not any blood. The blood of menses. Because the blood of menses is impure. As we all know that the woman will have to stop praying and fasting. And when she is free of menses, she has to take shower. Wudu is there not enough. But she has to take shower. Janaba. So this means that the blood is impure and strongly impure. Now, but the process of removing the blood of menses from the toe, as we hear is not obligatory. The obligatory thing is to remove it. And even if the woman takes it into the washing machine with the soap and wash it without scratching, without pouring water over it, doesn't make a problem. The important thing is to remove the impurity. Remove the impurity. Now, the other hadith, although the isnad is da'if, however, it has a lot of other hadith that gives the same meaning. It is da'if because one of the narrators called Abdullah bin Lahia. And Abdullah bin Lahia is da'if. And Ibrahim al-Harbi, one of the scholars of Rijal, scholars of hadith, he said that Abdullah bin Lahia never hears from Khawla bin Yasar. That is because, Abu Huraira,
means he never met her, or they
never.
They don't know of this Khawla.
No. It does not necessarily mean that, but might be did not meet, or they met without speaking, and when she didn't speak, you're not in her sitting.
They said, "Lam nasma bi khawla illa fi hadha al-hadith."
You mean khawla itself?
Ibrahim. Yeah. وَقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْحَرْبِي لَمْ نَسْمَعْ بِخَوْلَ إِلَّا فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ.
But this does not make any problem. This does not make any problem because the narrator is Abu Huraira. However, there is a problem, a real problem, which is Abdullah bin Lahia. Abdullah bin Lahia is weak. Now, but it is reported in other books on the authority of Aisha, but it is mawquf on Aisha, that if the woman washes the blood of menstruation and it does not remove completely, it is not clean completely, meaning there is still remaining stain of it, then she needs to change its color with sufra or za'faran or anything else that takes the color. Which is today very easy, with the cleaning materials today available. This is very easy. However, the hadith is da'if, so we don't want to get into that so deep, because the hadith is da'if, and the first hadith is enough. Because the first hadith procedure of it means you have to clean it and it go until it goes. Because you scratch it, then you rub it with water, then you wash it again with water. This means until, and by the three process now, three stages of process of cleaning the blood of menstruation from the cloth, will have that the blood come from that place. If we go through this process, it will guarantee the removal of the blood. So we don't need to go to this hadith which the ulama say is da'if due to Abdullah bin Lahia. But as you said, khawla, although one of the ulama like Ibrahim said we never hear of it, if the hadith is da'if, this does not make any problem because the hadith is on the authority of Abu Huraira. And Abu Huraira is Sahabi, so even if he says a woman asks, does not make any difference. But one of the narrators between Abu Huraira and Tirmidhi, is the cause of rejecting this hadith. And that is Abdullah bin Lahia. عبد الله بن دياع. نعم. والله تعالى أعلم، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Can I ask a question regarding this?
Right, تفضل.
In the situation, if the woman tried to wash the stain of the blood stain,
نعم.
and it doesn't go, the stain still there, نعم. even though it's been washed, can she pray with that cloth?
Yeah, it seems, يعني الحديث says that she does her best. She will have to do her best. يعني 3 steps. After that, she can't do nothing. Hadith says she scratches if it is already dry. If it is still wet, she just washes. And if she could not remove the stain from there, then that's her ability. But the important that she washed. And today's materials of washing, like the salt and the, what do you call that, the other thing?
Detergent.
Huh?
Detergent.
Fluoride or whatsoever. It will remove. But if the stain remains, then it does not make any problem. The important is not the color, but the important is the blood itself. Wallahu a'lam. Here it says, my daughter was told by the teacher in Quran school that it is okay to wear
My daughter was told by her teacher in Quran school that it is okay to wear perfume if they put it on the moment they arrive at school, because they are at school for more than 3 hours and the smell will fade by the time they go home.
I am wondering of English classes, everything you say well. The beard well, perfume well, clothes well, shoes well. Every day I find something strange in this language. And if they say use would be better, I think so, at least in our language. We don't wear it. I never wear the perfume. And I never wear my beard. Alhamdulillah. Because in Arabic, if you say wear your beard, it means the fake one. You just put it on and put it on. Yeah, in Arabic, you wear something, you can take off and on here and again. Perfume, you cannot take off and put it on again. Anyway, this is your life. Alhamdulillah. I'm lucky. This thing from this teacher, if she knows that this perfume would be gone by the time of, and first of all, if this perfume is only were in the school, not in the house, and after the school, no one will find the smell outside the school, in the bus, on the way to the house, then yes, there's no problem with that. Because what is forbidden for women in regard to the perfume is that she uses the perfume and goes out to the street. So people get attracted with the smell. Although today, with this Western perfume, we cannot now defer who is the man, who is the woman. They're all sensing, I'm using sensing. Somebody passed by a corridor or something like that and come, you find the smell, you don't know. But the man or woman, you really don't know. at least me, I don't know. I'm not so familiar to this perfume. Maybe that's why I cannot distinguish. Maybe you guys can.
I think here they do wear women perfume.
Yeah, you can't find a distinction between man and woman perfume.
Yeah, you can, but here they wear actually even women's perfume. Some boys and things they wear. They can't really distinguish between the two type of smell.
But I mean, in the West, these perfumes, you can't distinguish, because what I saw, I see in the shops. Even when I was in the West, I see. Same company makes product, it gives a very nice shape for the bottle of woman and a very rough shape of the bottle of man. That is the only distinguishing I can find. When I spray them both, I cannot know which one was the rough. No one was rough, all smooth, all nice. But not like in our country, I mean, not those who use the Western perfume, but who use our perfume, we easily can recognize that this is woman perfume. Easily we can recognize. For example, the Ouda, usually used by men. There are something like Jannatul Fawaki, Jannatul Na'in, Jannatul Fatos. These are things used by women, and they are very strong smell. That's why they are not allowed. Now today, if a woman put Oud and go out, no one would know that a woman passed by here or a man. No? But anyway, whether it is perfume for women or for men, the woman should not go out with it so people find it. Rasulullah ﷺ distinguished between the woman's perfume and the man's perfume. He said that the man's perfume can be smelled. The woman's perfume can be seen. Which today can be the makeup. Not the perfume by the meaning of perfume. Now, whether the woman needs to use perfume, it's not prohibited for her to use perfume. Whether to use the man's perfume or woman's perfume. Not clothes. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ in the hadith said that if one of you going to the Jum'ah, let us to use perfume. If he doesn't find, then let us use from the perfume of his wife. So it is not prohibited to use which one's perfume. It's not prohibited. But what is prohibited is that a woman goes out with different smell. Which makes the heads of people, of men, turn to see the source of this smell. Na'am Allah.
When his son Ibrahim died at the 1 year, 18 months, he never prayed Salatul Janaza. He buried the child. In the Sharia, do we have to pray Salatul Janaza before the child reaches puberty?
Who said that he did not pray Janaza?
I read one of the hadith yesterday.
What did he say?
From the extract from Sheikh Al-Bani's book of Janaza, that he didn't pray Salatul Janaza. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet didn't pray Salatul Janaza for Ibrahim when he was 18 months old. He died. This was taken from Sheikh Al-Bani's book of Janaza.
But the Sheikh says like that, did Aisha say like that? Or is it
observation?
I will go back, because although I told many times, really, I didn't pass by. Could be, but I didn't. I don't remember that I passed by. Anyway, the ruling of Janaza, the ulama say even the baby who died in the war, when he dies after 4 months, then he needs to be washed, shroud, and Janaza to be prayed and burned. Why you need to wash the body and put the shroud on it? And burn it if we don't pray Janaza.
Yeah, I was praying already yesterday.
In the translation or in Arabic?
No, because it's taken from the Arabic.
No. What you read?
Translation.
Translation. Then let me go back. I never trusted your translation. I found many things. One thing very strange. One translated Rasul Talata Bushra, what they mean, it's a mess. And in Arabic text, it says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated to Medina, and after he migrated, Salah, Zakah, Qiyam were made obligated there. He said, wow, this is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. This shows that these people do not know what they are doing. So, let me go back to Salah, people. والله أعلم صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد عليه